Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
Do you have a first aid kit in your house? Odds are that you do, or even possibly one in your car. But what's in there? A few old bandages, some that are half ripped open, you know, maybe an old pair of gloves. What is really in there? And how should you make sort of a first aid kit, a little disaster prep kit and first aid kit that you can keep in your house if you need to run and grab something? My guest is Dr. Elizabeth Murray. She's a physician specializing in pediatric emergency medicine at the University of Rochester Medical Center in upstate New York. Welcome to the show, Dr. Murray. So first aid kit, where should we keep it and what should we have in it?
You should keep it in a place that everybody knows the location. You pick the place, but make sure your family knows where it is and think about when you're going to use it. So if you live in a part of the country where there's tornadoes, where you might have to evacuate, your style of first aid kit is going to be more of a grab-and-go model. You're going to have it in a backpack so it can be stable and portable, versus other places where you're going to just have it in a durable container, like a plastic bin with a lid so it can stay enclosed, the items in it can stay fresh. Have it in a central location where everybody in your family knows where it is. The side note here is if you have little children in the house, of course, you're going to want to keep it out of reach because you know some of the things in there are things that toddlers and younger children should not be getting into.
Okay, so depending on where you live, whether it's grab and go or something you just want to keep in a nice sealed container away from children if they're little, what do we keep in there and how often do you refresh things like a bottle of Motrin or a bottle of Tylenol or hydrogen peroxide or any of these other things you might have in there?
So I'm a big fan of checking anything that might need to be checked when we change our clocks. When you're checking your smoke detectors, or if you want to pick a child's birthday, every 6 months you're checking things in your house that could expire. So to make sure that those items are fresh, because medications expire. If you have a pair of rubber gloves in there that are 10 years old, well, they can get stiff and not be functional. So every 6 months or so, you're checking to make sure that your kit is ready to go. And thinking about what's in that kit, you're going to have some predicted events. You're a parent of a child, you know that there's going to be cuts and scrapes and fall down and go booms and bumps in the middle of the night. So the first thing you're going to want to make sure you have is some pain control medicines like acetaminophen or ibuprofen. So you have stuff to treat pain and you have stuff to treat fevers. You're also going to want to have an antibacterial ointment type of product because there are going to be those cuts and scratches, and then Band-Aids or bandages. You don't have to go out and get super fancy stuff because these huge injuries you're not going to be dealing with on your own, but in your house on a regular basis there are going to be cuts and scratches or maybe something where you need some pieces of gauze. So having a fresh supply of those three main categories, I think, is going to get you pretty far. Taking it a little further, having a thermometer is always a good idea, especially if you have younger children, so you can monitor fevers, because fevers certainly can be an emergency in some situations. And then anybody with any special needs in the household, we've talked before about having a fact sheet, an information list for every member of your family. Make an extra copy so those aren't necessarily always on the refrigerator, but you could also have them in your first aid kit, so you've got the list of your family members, their weights, their medications, if they take any special needs that they might have. So you've got that list right there. So if a crisis hits, you don't have to recall the information. You have it written down and ready to go.
That's great advice, to keep that kind of thing in this sort of kit as well, because it really can help you in case of emergency. And I'm interested that you said you don't need those huge gauzes and huge, because those kinds of injuries you're not going to be dealing with on your own. I always stand there in front of the Band-Aids at Walgreens and say, how big should I get? Which ones should I get? Is the family size have the real big ones? And you're right. I mean, if it's something that's big enough that it's going to need stitches or something, we're not dealing with it on our own. So those family size that come in all different sizes of bandages, those are good. Now, what about alcohol wipes, alcohol, hydrogen peroxide, things to clean out wounds, Neosporin? Do we keep all those things in there?
Some yes and some no. I think when it comes to cleaning wounds, just a gentle soap and water is going to be the best. Any of the alcohol preparations, those things are going to sting, and you're going to lose your audience, meaning the person who's going to get their cut cleaned out with that is going to hurt quite a bit. So simple, gentle soap and water will get you pretty far. It's a rare situation where you really need to use hydrogen peroxide or anything more sophisticated than that. though a regular antibiotic cream or antibacterial ointment or cream to put on a cut or a scratch before you put a Band-Aid on, that's a great idea to always have that around because that'll just kind of help with the healing process. But the fancy cleaners probably don't need it. A gentle soap and some water will do what you need.
So in that first aid kit, should we also have, you know, I guess we're combining with a disaster prep kit, but like a radio, batteries, flashlight, or is this a first aid kit that is strictly medically based and we've got our medications, our Band-Aids, our gauzes, our, you know, whatever else we need?
I think it depends on where you live and what you anticipate your family's need to be. I mean, I think if you're a house where you have four school-age children and the chance of you accessing your first aid kit is going to be almost a weekly phenomenon, that I would have it be a more simple kit. If you live where there's tornadoes and you're evacuating on a semi-regular basis, then perhaps you have a more extensive kit with the radios and the other things in it, or at least have it right next to your first aid kit so it's all together in kind of a centralized location that you think of as your grab-and-go area, your disaster preparedness cupboard in your kitchen or wherever it may be.
So what else should we have in there?
I think I would also have something like a Benadryl or an antihistamine medication, because rashes will pop up. A little bit of allergy symptoms could certainly pop up. And then you can also have some tweezers, because splinters are another thing, too. And I think it's also very reasonable to use resources such as the Red Cross or HealthyChildren.org and print out some information about first aid tips. You know, I think the thing that we always bring with us no matter where we go, but we forget to rely on, is our brain. So having that preparation going into it is really important. Take a class, learn your CPR, learn first aid, learn what the American Heart Association Red Cross has to teach us, so you can have those lists of the skills for when the big bad crisis hits, not just the simple cuts and scratches that you'll see. Key things, though, I think are going to be Band-Aids, bandage, bleeding control type devices, pain medications, fever medications, allergy medicines, specific information about people in your family and any medicines that they might have. I think it's also smart, too, depending on where you're going to use this kit, especially for ones you keep in your car, to have some rubber gloves in there should you be rendering first aid to a person that you don't know their medical history. If you're contacting somebody else's bodily fluids, you want to protect yourself as well. So if you know that you're going to be that type of person that's willing to go out and help others, you need to protect yourself and have some personal protective equipment as well.
Do we teach our children how to use some of this first aid so that if, God forbid, it's us that needs it, that they could, depending on their age, of course, that they could know how to clean a wound, put a Band-Aid on, do any of those things?
Depends on the child, and I think and depends on their age, but I think the more important life skill for the children is appropriate use of the phone and understanding the 911 system, because again, the big bad things that you're going to not be able to care for yourself are probably something that you're going to need an ambulance or outside assistance with, so you want to make sure that they can get care. And maybe it's not even as dramatic as calling 911, but as soon as possible, making sure your children know how to use the phone to call a relative or another parent or a neighbor to come offer help. This is especially true should one parent or one member of the family have a chronic illness, perhaps diabetes or something special like that, where things might happen that the supervising adult might need assistance, but that the child can't necessarily offer that assistance on their own. But there certainly are children, you know, especially the school-age children, who are very interested in learning these types of things, who want to help. You know, think of all of our Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts out there. They're learning all these things in their programs, and I think to have them be involved, perhaps even having the every 6 month check of the kit be part of their responsibility and household responsibilities, I think that's a great idea.
Thank you so much, Dr. Elizabeth Murray. So you can print out your list at healthychildren.org, or the Red Cross has a list for a first aid kit, little disaster prep kit, things that you should keep. And as Dr. Murray pointed out, you want to make sure to update these things every 6 months. Make sure the gloves and the Band-Aids are not half ripped open, or, you know, that the gloves have gotten hard, a thermometer, some kind of pain relief medication, and certainly your family's information should all be in there. So make your list and get that done. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.